Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Another thing I'm not big on, I don't think in this fashion. I appreciate a pastoral sermon. My mind just doesn't work that way. I'm more of an analytical guy. I'm more of a person that looks in the Old Testament and finds the types, and I find Jesus in the types, and that's primarily how I do my preaching and also teaching and what have you. In my church that I'm trying to start in Metairie, I am going through Matthew. But I have decades of study from the Old Testament, and I can read a passage and I can say, well, you know, I preached a sermon that points to this, and I preached another sermon that points to that. So it's something that I'm comfortable with and familiar with. But a pastoral sermon, I don't think that way. But a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting back here in the trailer, and I just was reading in my Bible and came upon this passage. And it's, again, not something that I normally preach. Now, it's something that I experience. It's something that I look for, I desperately want in my life and in the lives of those that I have an opportunity to minister with and to. But again, this is not my kind of sermon. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. And when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, obviously speaking of Jesus. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Heavenly Father, once again, I'm grateful to stand behind your sacred desk, and I'm honored to be counted worthy to break this holy bread, the Word of God, the Bible. Thank you for using me. I'm grateful for it. You could have left me in sin. You didn't have to save me. You could have left me in the pew. You didn't have to call me to preach. I'm so grateful for all the things you've done in my life. Please help me to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you have called me. Please help those listening, and I believe that my prayer will be answered. As I always pray, sir, we would see Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'm not a pastoral sermon sort of preacher. But I read this passage and it struck me. And as I said a bit ago, this is something I want in my life. This is something I desperately want in my life. I preached the previous verse, verse 8, about the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to be witnesses unto Jesus to the uttermost parts of the earth. I've preached the next chapter, chapter 2. I've certainly read this dozens of times at least. But it struck me that they saw Jesus go back to heaven. And the angels, the two men standing by in white apparel, the angels from heaven, they said to the apostles, disciples, what have you, hey, don't worry, Jesus is coming back. That cloud that Jesus rose up in, they said that cloud is coming back one day and Jesus in it. Probably the same cloud that was on the Mount of Transfiguration, doubtless the same cloud that was on the mountain when Moses went up in that mountain. The presence of God. There's a lot of symbolism, and I love, again, the symbols and types in the Old Testament. But we understand that Jesus, Matthew says, that His name is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. But the passage says that Jesus went up into heaven. He's coming back one day, but He went up into heaven, and it's been 2,000 years, and, well, He's not with us. But again, He said in Matthew chapter 28, He said that, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We understand by the agent of the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts, Jesus is with us. His presence, I'm grateful that I sense it in the service today. I'm very grateful for it. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, He said, I am in the midst. I am with you. And again, more than that, He lives in our hearts. It's the witness of the Spirit, the seal of the Spirit in our hearts that Jesus lives in us and that we are truly born again. And that's what I want to focus on. It says in verse 12 that they returned from Jerusalem, or to Jerusalem, or rather from the Mount of Olives, Olivet. And in verse 13, it says that they went into an upper room. It may have been the same upper room where Jesus, not that long before, had held the Last Supper. I don't know. It's certainly possible. It's in fact, probable, I guess, that they chose the same room. But it was a room above a room, an upper room, maybe second, third, fourth story, I don't know. Some out-of-the-way room, but it says that they went in that room, and for a week, or however you count it, they were in this upper room. And it names Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip. In fact, it names 11. 11 of the disciples that Jesus had chosen. Now, Judas is also mentioned in verse 25. They appointed another apostle or disciple that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. So the 12th disciple, or at this point apostle, is mentioned, but he's not numbered with the 11. And again, they appointed another one, they drew lots, and etc. But it says that these 11 are named. and that they abode in this upper room. And it mentions in verse 14, they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Well, we know what prayer is. What is supplication? It's a more intense form of prayer. To spend time in prayer, and not just a few minutes, maybe a few hours, and maybe let's come back again after supper and pray some more. And then the next day they repeated it. They perhaps read the Word of God or what have you, but they were in one accord in prayer, in supplication. I'm Pentecostal. We occasionally refer to a tarrying meeting. Let's come and tarry before the Lord. Not just a little prayer and we go home. Not just a religious thing that we say some words and it sounds holy, but Lord, we want to do business with you. We're sincere about this. We need your help. Please, Lord, we've laid out our cause, our distress. We've told about it. Like Hezekiah, we've taken that letter and laid it out and says, Lord, read it. We're in trouble. Please help us because we don't know what to do. Prayer and supplication. The Word of God says you have not because you ask not. A little 2-minute prayer, you've not asked very much. Sometimes 2 minutes prayer is all that's necessary. Sometimes 2 seconds prayer is all that's necessary. The first time that I went out of the country, first time that I went to do missions work out of the country, I went down to Honduras. I want to say it was 1991, or I don't remember. Maybe that was it or something. I don't remember. But I went down with a construction team. And they had gone, I guess, a month before the other team, or maybe the same people going again twice, I don't know. But they had gone maybe 2 or 3 times before. And they had the cinder block walls in place. And then somebody had built trusses, and it may have been the same guys, I don't know. But our job that week was to take the trusses, and they had laid them out flat on the ground and nailed them together and what have you. And they were sitting there waiting for us, I don't know, 15, 20 trusses that they were going to put up on the walls, and then they'd have, what do you know, they'd have a place to put the roof on. And actually, the last day, we had finished putting up the trusses, and then we had put some little one-bys going crossways, and then they hired a local guy who was good at laying Mexican tile, and he, in half an afternoon, he had put a roof on the whole building. But this is like the second day, I guess. We were trying to put the trusses up, and we had gotten them up onto the building, up in the air, 8, 10 foot, whatever, and we were standing them up on edge. And we just kind of got them in place, and we had nailed some temporary boards just to steady them so that they wouldn't fall. But then we had to put them in the exact place, and they had undone 3 or 4 or 5 of them all at once in the same area. And there was a guy coming up the ladder, and he slipped. And he fell and hit the ground, but on his way down, he was grasping for anything that he could, and he grabbed hold of one of the trusses. It didn't keep him from hitting the ground, but what it did was it set off that row of dominoes. And I, at the time, was straddling one of them. I was in the middle of the cluster. And one by one, those trusses came down like dominoes straight for me. And I, you know, bowed my head and it said, no, I said, Lord, please save me.
Yeah.
And they stopped. And one rested right on my thigh. And it didn't hurt me, but it rested right on my thigh and stopped. And I guess the hand of God or something just stopped it. So maybe a 2-second prayer at times is all that's needed. But Jesus at one point, talking about his disciples and the ministry that they did, they had come upon a man that was full of the devil, possessed with some kind of spirit. And they said, we tried to cast him out and couldn't. And Jesus said, sometimes these particular ones, and I don't understand demonology at all, I confess, but he said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. We prayed, we've supplicated, but then we went without food, spending time away from the table, saying, Lord, I'm hungry, but you know, this thing is more important. I'm going to withhold food from myself and take time instead to pray. But it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Again, for a week or so, however you count the days. So they were serious about what? I wonder. They hadn't received the outpouring of the Spirit yet. They didn't quite understand it. They didn't know. Jesus had said, wait for the promise of the Father. In verse 4 and 5, you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They didn't understand what it meant. They really didn't understand what it meant. And you can look at the life of Peter. He was always first to make a fool of himself, etc. But when the Spirit of God came, it says he stood up with the 11 and began to preach and tell about Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people got saved. And that's wonderful. They had no idea what was coming. They had no idea. It wasn't long since that Jesus was in the tomb, and they really had no idea. They had lived for 3.5 years with the man, and then he was dead. They didn't understand he was the Messiah. They didn't get it. He said it many times, taught it. He said, I'm going to die for the sins of the world. And they said, no, you're not. That's foolish. I mean, who wants to die? And we understand the rebuke that Peter got. So this was all new to them. They didn't quite understand, but they knew this. They knew the Lord. They understood, hey, you know, we just saw Jesus go up into the sky, and then the angels came down and said, hey, he's coming back. Don't know what's going to happen in a week or so, but we feel a need to pray. We feel a need to break bread together. We feel a need to sit around that table after we've taken bread and broken and blessed and gave, as Jesus did. They felt a need to discuss the Scriptures. They felt a need to go, well, that was a passage in Proverbs. I wonder what it means. Oh, wow. That points to Jesus Christ, and etc. They had a chance to fellowship, to worship, to pray, to spend time in intercession or whatever it was. They fellowshipped around Jesus. But it's interesting. The verse 14 goes on. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. With the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now you've got James and Jude. They were there. That's fine. But they were fellowshipping and abiding in Christ with the women. Now we understand Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, she was pretty attached to the boy, I guess. After all, she was the mother. We understand why she would be there. And again, Jesus rose from the dead. I perfectly understand that. But this is his mother. Obviously, she would want to hang around those that had hung around him. But then it says, with the women. Which women? Mary Magdalene. And the other Mary. We can read in the Gospels there was one that came. She was a prostitute. And God had saved her. And God had changed her. And I have no experience with prostitution, but I imagine that prostitutes, they wish they could get out of that. They wish they could find some other kind of gainful employment. They understand that it's a sinful lifestyle, and I could elaborate, I understand, but I don't have to. But Jesus walked by one day as she was selling her wares, I suppose. She had heard about Jesus, and he passed by one day, and maybe he spoke to her, I don't know. But she left her water pot, let's say, and spent the rest of the time until Jesus was crucified with Jesus. Just like the apostles, she followed the Lord. It says that she, at one point, at one meal that they were at, she fell at Jesus' feet, weeping. For her sin, okay, I understand. But also because she knew that she was forgiven of her sins. I've told my testimony here, I'm sure I'll tell it again, but I was a sinner, no doubt. I had it rough, I had it hard, and I lived a life of despair and depression for years. And when I got saved, it changed my life so completely. And when I woke up that next morning, my eyes sprang open, and immediately I had a dreadful thought. Was it all a dream? And I was afraid. I was afraid because the previous afternoon, Jesus had come into my heart and set me free from drugs, set me free from bars, forgave me of all my sins. I had a peace in my heart, I can't describe it. It's still there today, but I still, after 20 some odd years, almost 30 years, I can't describe it. But I opened my eyes that next morning, afraid that it was just a dream I had. And a few seconds passed, and then the sweet presence of the Lord moved in my heart. And a smile came on my face, and I began to thank the Lord for what He had done. And to thank Him that it wasn't just a dream. He changed my life. And I can tell you the stories, but I can't tell you. I don't have words to tell you how wonderful it is, the things that God has done in my heart. This woman, kneeling at Christ's feet and weeping and her tears falling on His feet, and then she took her own hair, used as a towel, and wiped His feet. She had something. She found something. But she was there with the disciples and with the mother of Jesus. Again, Mary Magdalene, maybe some others. And they were fellowshipping around Jesus Christ. That was their focus. It wasn't, let's fellowship around our denomination, or our church. Man, the choir's great, the pastor, he teaches okay, and whatever. And all of those things may be true, but it wasn't denominationalism, it wasn't anything. It was about the Lord. I've been a part of a few denominations. None of them satisfied. At least one of them terrified, honestly. I don't care about the name on the door. I don't care about the name on the card in your pocket, preacher. I don't care. What I care about is the one that died and rose again, went to heaven, and in one day is coming back. One day soon, I have to say. One day soon, when you least expect it, He's going to upset your apple cart. And my plea today, and what this sermon is about, is that you'd get your eyes off of everything else. Forget your religion. Forget your denomination. But look to Jesus. And we thank You, Father, and praise You, Lord. And we're so grateful for the things that You have done in sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. Thank you that we're saved, we're sanctified, and we're justified, and one day when He comes back, we're going to be glorified. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.